AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt, Eric, usually you have to wait a good 20 minutes for him, but hey, today we've got Early Stein. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, a noted author. Find his books at Next Chapter Books and totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is the business report they do down there. And as well, also, he does the, of course, the Iowa Politics Report from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Matthew, it's as if we haven't talked for a week.
It is almost as if. How are you? Boy, oh boy, I'm just going to let you know your Iowa governor's stance on, hey, let just everyone go roam in the mosh pit. That doesn't seem to be going too well because your state seems to, I think, am I correct that they are the worst as far as the day-to-day amount of new cases?
And it's 90-something percent based upon one or two packing houses. Yeah, I mean, that's the big issue. This is the thing where I find people to be fascinated.
Yes.
All right. There were a lot of folks who said, how dare you say that we cannot gather in groups of 10 or more? We want to show up at church. We want to be in the parking lots of church. We believe there's freedom of religion, et cetera, et cetera. So the governor this week says, effective May 1st, the prohibition on size of gatherings is out the door for worship services so long as you social distance. You use social distance. And what did we hear? We got a letter signed by a dozen religious officials from various denominations condemning her for saying that churches could reopen at their own discretion because they didn't want to be the ones to say, no, you guys all stay home. Now, the bishops got together and said masses in person suspended until further notice. It's okay that the governor said we can do it again, but we're not going to do it.
Yeah, that's, by the way, that's up here in Minnesota too. The Catholic Church has basically said no, masses out right now.
Right, and this is what I just find fascinating, and it was the same thing with various metro area mayors where they were saying we have to have a shutdown order. Why? Because they didn't want to be the ones to make the call. And so the whole point of this relaxation was to say, if you're in a county of very few people and there's only one confirmed case and you want to get together and have a worship service and you sit 6 feet apart, fine, go ahead, knock yourself out. But if you're in an area which is the hottest hotspot in the country, and I think that's where I'm sitting right now, a place like New York and New Jersey notwithstanding, no. You know, it's up to you folks, but don't go doing it. Mm-hmm. I just find the hypocrisy sometimes to be just amazing. And I don't know what to say about it, because what was the alternative? 77 of Iowa's 99 counties have one, two, or three cases, period. So the rules are going to be different for those than other places. There's, 1,600 cases in the county where I'm sitting. Fine, different rules. I just don't understand part of the problem.
But you, okay, and I'm going to just, you're a smart guy, and I know this.
No, we
shouldn't be going out. And I'm going to say this. We have a million cases here in the United States, a million cases. Right now, the death count on this is the fifth worst in history behind Civil War, the 1918 flu outbreak, World War II, then World War I, then us. We've been past Vietnam now. There's more people that died of COVID-19 than died of Vietnam. And we will get past World War I by the time this is over, for sure. We might, if things go bad, depending on – I talked to a guy who's an expert on the – or at least an expert in Minnesota about the 1918 outbreak. And he reminded people, said it wasn't the first wave that was the bad ones. It was the second and third waves that were really taking people out left and right.
Exactly right.
And so I think the reality is this, is that the lack of the leadership is just, we need to have people – that are saying, no, we need to be locked down. And I mean, I hate to say this, but yeah, the microbrewery, the restaurant, the hair salon, you might get, it might end up killing your business. And that's not the intent, but I don't want to kill the people. And that's, at the end of the day, when you look at the countries that shut things down, New Zealand, great example, they shut everything down. And because they went, basically cold turkey in that country, they're actually starting to lift sanctions already. We haven't even gotten close to that. And people act like, well, because I couldn't get a haircut for 3 weeks, I've sacrificed enough. And we're – I mean, I'm sorry. I think that this is – we are going to be looking at a far higher death count and a case count because of the recklessness of how America is dealing with this, because of this mentality that if the government tells you to do it, the conservative's natural response is, well, then it's wrong.
I'm not sure it is as predictable along party lines. There's a fair amount of people sticking with their own side. I will grant you that. And I'm not talking about anything out of Washington, not even considering anything out of Washington. The problem to me, and I said it last week, and I stand by it, and it may be an oversimplification, but many pockets, whether it's Worthington, Sioux Falls, Waterloo, those pockets were okay when citizens took care of things on their own, and they were told, you can't go out into restaurants. All right, I won't go out in a restaurant. You can't gather in a group of more than 10. Fine, I won't. 80% of you are essential workers. The rest of you that possibly can stay home, stay home. Great, I'll stay home. We didn't have a big problem. But when bad corporate citizens took advantage of workers, not keeping them safe, knowing full well that they had a grip on government because you can't shut the plants down or else you're going to have no food supply, they caused a bad situation to be exponentially worse in areas where that didn't have to be the case. We already know they don't take care of their employees in a good situation.
Yes.
They sure aren't now. Now, I'm not in any way suggesting that everything would have been along fine and puppy dogs and rainbows and all of that. But I can point to where the spike is, and it sure is what has taken it off the charts.
Well, and I'm not disagreeing with that. I mean, and you see it in Nobles County in Minnesota. I mean, my God, the amount of cases they've got down there. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is this. I think we're really talking about two things. We're talking about the one, the bad corporate governance of these companies, these executives that basically, you know, they're used to, you know, getting things on the cheap. They don't want to look at any extra expenses. They've got a bottom line. They're looking at their third boat. They don't give a rat's caboose. And they look at their employees, the human beings, like a box of paper clips. Once they're used, they can get thrown away. And that is how they look at them. And that is clearly what you are seeing here. But when you go back to the argument that, well, I don't know if it's a political or a partisan argument. I don't see the Biden signs at these reopen rallies. It's Trump fans. And granted, I mean, I think that this is a coordinated thing via these Trump groups and the gun groups that are out there as well. But one or two Democratic politicians saying maybe we should think about opening something versus the mass majority of the people who are screaming for things to get reopened. In Minnesota, I got plenty of Republicans I can point at who are arguing that this we should try to do herd immunity, for God's sakes, and go through it like that. That because I guess science would be the only thing I can think of. There definitely is a partisan nature to the element of do you get back to work, although with polling numbers, even most Republicans don't think we should.
And this is where – and again, I'm too simplistic on a lot of it, Matt. I fully concede that. But I just don't think there's a one-size-fits-all approach. And there's a lot of semantics that we're talking about because the distinction between – because I want to talk about the realistic point of it, the actual implication of it. I will concede that calling it a shut-it-all-down order sends a different message than a piecemeal, this is closed, this is closed, this is closed approach. I understand how it may look optic-wise, conceptually, how people look at – okay, I'll give you that. But the distinction between practically who's able to go out and who's not, in certain states that have shut-it-all-down orders as opposed to states like the one I live in, there's not an awful lot of difference. It's – I'm going to say mindset, and I don't mean to be so flip about it, but it's a matter of – everything shut down except this, 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 and this, and it's a long list. Or you're saying things are open except for this very long list that are closed. And I'm not sure there's evidence to support that one of those methods is better than another. It is a very specialized situation, and you've got to have – hey, look, You and I are privileged. I would dare say most of the people listening to this program are privileged. And so we can make various choices. But if you're confronted with the choice of going to work in an unsafe environment that has a high rate of injury on a good day, or you have no money at all, that's a horrible choice. Mm-hmm. I will tell you something that I did not investigate further, and I'm not thrilled about it, but this is what came from workforce development in my state this week. And again, as you mentioned, certain areas of the state with very low spread can reopen to a very limited degree. Like the restaurant can only have 50% capacity, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to any restaurant. No, I'm not crossing the county line to go to a restaurant. But here's the thing. They said, all right, if you're receiving unemployment right now because whatever business was closed because of the pandemic, if that business opens and you're called back to work and you say, I'm scared, I'm afraid, I don't feel safe, and you don't show up to work, that's going to be viewed as what they call a voluntary quit, and you will no longer get unemployment benefits.
Well,
that's a little harsh.
Well, I mean, clearly the whole point of this whole thing, I think one of the reasons why conservatives mostly are talking about get back to work is because, one, they don't want to issue another check. And two, then it takes the onus of if someone gets evicted or someone starves, well, you can go get a job. That's not on us anymore. That's just you're lazy and you're a moocher. And I think that's part of it. What you get, though, is what you said, though, and I agree with this. There's a leadership vacuum at the top, and that's the problem. Which brings me back to an important moment that happened after our disinfectant issue last Friday.
My God,
yes. Yes. So we all know he said the stupid thing, and he didn't say it sarcastically. He was looking at the doctor, like looking at her to validate, yeah, you can inject yourself with Lysol. God, that's just the dumbest damn thing.
Not real. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. But in the aftermath of that, from what I have understood, the White House and namely Trump and his core surround group demanded Republicans get on Fox, OAN, other outlets and defend it. And really, for the first time, everyone said, there's no way in hell I'm going to go out and defend this. And this was really interesting how the dynamic changed. All of a sudden, Trump's coming off these meetings, off these press conferences, they're going to try to limit his role because he got to a point where he said something so stupid off the cuff that not even his most avid fans were willing to go out onto a TV and defend it. And that was an interesting point.
And then and I don't mean to use this phrase in a way that offends, but then in a rather schizophrenic manner, what did we have earlier in the week? That's it. There's no briefing. Oh, wait, I'm going to have a briefing.
Yes.
What? Okay. Now, leading up to that, there were a number of staunch Trump allies in the media who said, you know, maybe you shouldn't go on for 2 hours a day. You know, this is too much of a good thing. You're doing well, the ratings are great, et cetera, but maybe you should just not take every single question because there's going to come a point where it's a problem. His biggest problem, I mean, we've said this in a variety of contexts, Matt, for years. The cover-up is worse than the offense. If you watch the clip, it is not a very smooth, intelligent statement. He's looking off saying, well, you know, that might be, you know, just this random Trumpism, okay?
Looking for validation.
You could have, if you were a staunch, I get a paycheck to do this ally, if you were somebody like that, you could have the next day said, as some did, well, he wasn't saying go ingest Lysol. He was saying that, you know, you should consider a lot of things, et cetera, and they just kind of did the old that's Trump being Trump. The problem came when he submarined them and completely undermined their attempt to help him out. They tossed the life preserver out to the man in the ocean, and he kicked it away and dove down toward the depth of the ocean floor by saying, well, I was being sarcastic. There is no way you can interpret that. Mm-hmm. And at that point, all of these defenders are sitting there saying, all right, I did what I could. I can't work with that. Because, you know, you can take anything, you know, Trump goes on these monologues. you know, and so you can take anything in the middle of it and, you know, it's part of a broader whole. You can sometimes justify it that way. You might have been able to get away with it, sort of, kind of. But then when he came out with the, you know, I was just being sarcastic and I was playing with reporters. No, nobody was buying it, and that really, really sunk him. The fact that it had to come to this before they started limiting these press avails, well, again, that's an unfortunate thing because of the fact that there's another point to it, and that is at some point you can't have, quote-unquote, emergency news briefings if things are turning around. So long as you're still having marathon news briefings to talk about how bad things are, you can't then, with any kind of intellectual consistency, turn it around and say, let's start opening things up. So in a very different, you know, forget the disinfectant issue, if you can, for a moment. There's a point to be made to say, you got to start scaling back on these, or else it's going to seem like a crisis is continuing. And it makes no sense to then take the actions that you're advocating. This was something that sort of bit Iowa's governor the other day, where she announced the, at that point, highest one-day total of new cases. A lot of that had to do with enhanced testing, but just go with it. And then said, oh, by the way, we're opening up 77 of 99 counties on Friday. And what did the Associated Press and everybody say? The very day that we had the largest number of cases, we're going to start opening it up. I mean, it's just message inconsistency, and that creates a problem, you know, with public perception and reality, just perception.
Eric, just FYI, we're going to just take one segment here out a little bit here. We're going to go a little bit longer here because we got Jeff. He's got an interview coming up here. That's why we have him early today. Jeff Stein joining us.
I'm just a very important person. Now,
well, you know, I'm not used to working on Wednesdays. Come on, man. I got half the show I need to mail in. No, okay. But I will say this. It does tell me now that, what is it, ABC, NBC, CBS, and CNN have all basically said they're no longer going to cover these press press conferences. It leaves MSNBC, OAN, and Fox, along with the print journalists, in there. So I think that's where he's kind of, it's burning his bridges. But, you know, it's when the president's going to a 2-hour thing to speak about a coronavirus pandemic and the media's like, there's nothing here. That should just tell you everything right there. I mean, and that's not liberal media. That's just, he wants his campaign things. I mean, that's what he's trying to do with the West Point grads. He wants a campaign rally. That's why he's trying to drag them all back to West Point.
I'd like to know who invited who. Did he invite himself?
He invited himself. The West Point had no idea about this until all of a sudden they were told by the president he's coming up to speak. They were not planning on having a graduation ceremony.
I heard something from West Point, but that was probably somebody who was told to follow orders and say that, oh, no, we wanted him here. So, yeah, I don't carry these briefings on my radio station. I don't carry them live. I don't carry the state ones live either, because I got burned by that once where there was, you know, they changed the time and we thought there was some big announcement, and it turned out that, oh yeah, we're just now changing the time of them. We didn't tell you that was the reason. Oh, okay. So everybody got all excited for nothing. Sorry. No, I'm not going to fall for it. Because again, from the standpoint, if you've got a 30-minute news conference, if you have a 2-hour news conference, I'll distill it down. Yeah, you have to worry about how people filter things out, but any important information is going to get lost in all of the back and the forth and the repetition, and people just aren't going to pay attention. It's too much. And realistically, this stuff could be distilled down at the city, county, state, or federal level to a list of talking points and make the person available, and we're done.
Yeah.
And more people would get more out of it, Matt, if we did that.
And we absolutely would. You just nail it exactly. If this was covered correctly, this wouldn't be about just patting Trump's ego. It would be about basically getting the information out, and that's the key. Quickly, we want to turn over to this. All of a sudden, I'm, you know, who's the henchman that looks like a Dick Tracy villain? That's Trump's buddy that's in jail now.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down much at all.
The one with the glasses. The one that was talking.
Roger Stone.
There you go. Thank you. Roger Stone. Roger Stone, the guy talking to WikiLeaks. Yeah, Dick Tracy villain.
the Nixon tattoo, then okay. I would have killed you. All right.
I should have said the Nixon tattoo. Roger
Stone, they released, because they got sued by the media, they said, we want to see what was in these warrants. That we discovered now, that reminder, that there was, as they scream, oh, there was no connection there between Russia and Trump, that not only, at the very best, Roger Stone was basically giving advice to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks about what to release and how to release it and the freedom of the press. There are some elements which kind of imply that he himself was feeding the leaked emails from Hillary Clinton to WikiLeaks. That there, I mean, stuff there needs to be broken down a little bit more. But quickly, your thoughts, Harry. I know he's going to get pardoned by Trump at some point. But at the same time, I mean, now we have even more evidence that there was a direct connection here.
There are a lot of those on the right who are saying, look at how the FBI treated Roger Stone. Look at all of these things that we're starting to learn. But they're ignoring the big, big pile of stuff that makes that very direct connection. And whether or not Stone's problem is that it was thought that he said he had more influence than he did. So making the actual connection between him and some of these other figures, he's a braggart. And so he plays things up bigger than might otherwise be the case. He may not have had Trump's ear at all times, but it does appear very clear that he sure led other people like Julian Assange and others to believe that he did. And that's the whole case that they were building around him to begin with, the attempt to peddle influence. Maybe they can't directly pin it to the president, but all of the protestations that Roger Stone made that he was just, some innocent, feeble guy just sitting here, darn that evidence. It just gets in the way, doesn't it?
If that evidence comes back and shows he was feeding the information himself, well, that's a very different story. We'll have to save it for another day. Hey, I appreciate you shifting over. I know you got this interview. Thank you very much. Once again, the Iowa Politics Report, we'll post it up a little bit later on. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Jeff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time, my friend.
Have a good week, sir. Thank you.
Take care. It's the Matt McNeil Show. We're back. I got the Minnesota update coming up here as well.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning knows a comfortable home is more important now than ever. So we're offering up to $2,700 in savings when you buy a new furnace and AC in April. We also want to assure you that we're still open, offering all our services and answering your calls. And we've created a no-contact protocol to keep our customers and staff safe. Find out more about these savings and our new protocols at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930. Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
In response to COVID-19, Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is working to be safe and healthy for our customers and employees. We enable and require our employees to stay home if they are sick. We are closing our showroom temporarily, but we are answering our phone calls and emails. We can do a lot remotely and electronically. Email us your pictures, sketches, and plans of your project. We will listen to your ideas and make suggestions. We can explain which products will work and price them. We are doing installation and service cost estimating and scheduling. Visit us online at woodlandstoves.com. Give us a call or email us at info@woodlandstoves.com.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hey, Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, and muckraking host of The Bradcast, weeknights here on AM 950. With the 2020 election upon us, all the stops are now coming out to suppress the vote. Whether it's photo ID, bad voting machines, or just plain old voter intimidation, we will expose all of the latest schemes, frauds, and more. Right here on The Bradcast, every weeknight, now at 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I mentioned something there a little bit in the show that the COVID-19 is now the fifth deadliest thing that's ever really happened to the country, which you could kind of encapsulate in one thing. When you look at, the worst is the Civil War. And there is a real question of how many people did die in the Civil War. Because not only can you look at both sides fighting, which was pretty, astounding numbers on both sides, you also at the same time had a lot of civilians who were killed at the same time as the war was going on. And it should be noted that the mentality of Grant and Sherman at the end of that war was to break the South over their knee, which they basically did. I mean, Sherman left Georgia with nothing. And, very pointedly. And, South Carolina, for the most part as well, was left pretty barren. And so when you look at the deaths that happened afterwards of starvation and disease afterwards in those states, that was pretty substantial as well. This list is of 800,000. I've heard upwards of 2 million people died in the Civil War, Americans. The flu outbreak of 1918, the estimated amount of people who died is 675,000 people. That was over 2 years in 1918-1919. By the way, you will be able to listen to the interview I did with Kurt Brown about that on the Members Only page. I'll get back to that in a second. But the Members Only page, we did an interview where you can hear us talk a little bit about, once again, it was never the first wave of the 1918 flu that was the bad one. It was the second and third, especially come fall. Come fall, it was brutal. And there were some other things in Minnesota that played into that as well. But that is the second one. 675,000 estimated died in the United States. It's millions worldwide. The World War II, the number of casualties we had there, 405,399. Combat deaths only, though. So, obviously civilians killed at Pearl Harbor in that kind of way. I don't know if those are being counted in, but still, 405,000. World War I, that was 116. Now, reminder, we got into that war very late comparatively. We weren't into that one until late in the campaign in 1917. COVID-19 now has passed Vietnam. Vietnam, there was 58,220 combat deaths in Vietnam from 64 to 71. We have now had 59,266 deaths of COVID-19. So the fifth worst. When you hear these people say, it's not that bad, it's just like getting the flu. I don't see annual flu outbreaks anywhere here. We have in basically 3 months become in 3 months with one disease, 3 months, we have the fifth deadliest thing that has happened to the United States. The fifth. And with the World War I at 116, and we are still climbing the charts and fast here, and, mind you, grossly, clearly the numbers that are getting reported in Republican states are truly getting knocked down. They are not nearly where, just when you look at the amount of people who are sick, the standard ratio of death should be there, and they're just not there. It doesn't include the 5,000-plus people in New York City alone who likely died of coronavirus, but because they haven't been tested yet. This is going to end up definitively being the fourth deadliest thing that's ever happened to us. We're going to get past World War I. The question here is, what are we willing to do to prevent this from becoming the third or the second or, God forbid, the worst thing health-wise that's with body count that's happened to the United States of America? I mean, it's just unbelievable when you think about how blithe people are about this still. They're like, well, I want to go get a pizza. I want to go get my nails done. Really? Really? Sacrifice? I mean, is this really where we're at with sacrifice? That when you think about the sacrifices that we have made over the years, that now it's basically, I went 10 days without getting a haircut, and that I am just persecuted like slavery. I mean, and you hear people say these things. My gut feeling is, God, I got to tell you the truth. By the end of the summer, I think this is going to be far, far worse. And I think, frankly, I think that the Trump administration might actually just shut down the testing just because they're so terrified of the numbers. I honestly could see that. I could honestly see Trump saying, you can no longer report anyone that's sick. Numbers, you can't do that. You got to take all the numbers down because fake news. And then basically just do everything in their power to bury how bad this is as much as possible before they get to the election. I honestly do. And then sometime my gut feeling would be, regardless of whether he wins re-election or he loses, Christmas Eve night at 11 o'clock, someone in the White House will hit send, and there'll be a press release put out there saying, hey, you remember when we said that 150,000 people had coronavirus? The actual number was 750,000. I remember when we said that 75,000 people died of coronavirus? Oh, the actual number was 300,000 people died. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen, is Christmas Eve night, they'll send out a press release and say, yeah, we lied. Just because, yeah. Brad, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
Is your business being pulled under by a tide of constant threats? Hackers, ransomware, security breaches? What if you had people who could navigate you to safe water, then teach you how to swim? Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Rimark with a unique offer, a free security assessment. We'll uncover hidden threats, hidden costs, and hidden opportunities to help navigate your business. Call 651-328-8900 or go to RimarkIT.com to schedule your free security assessment.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
They really appreciate what she's done as a sister as well as a soldier and, you know, supporting their country.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join.
Family members that are soldiers in the Army National Guard inspire and influence, setting a path for others.
It's validating knowing that, you know, I kind of did my part to make sure this is what they actually wanted and that they feel the same way I do. I'm really proud that we get to help shape the future, and I know that my sisters are going to be amazing soldiers.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share in.
A lot of pride, and they're just out there doing something every day and then serving their country as well.
I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture.
Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be mostly sunny with a high near 63. Tonight, clear skies with a low around 42. Thursday, sunny with a high of 68 and a low of 47. Friday, cloudy with a high of 69 and a low of 52. While Saturday will be sunny with a high of 73 and a low of 48. AM 950 wants to say thank you to all the listeners that have supported us by becoming members. We are committed to getting through this and to supporting our community, but we can still use help through membership as we are a long way from getting through this virus. If you'd like to support AM 950 by becoming a member, go to am950radio.com.
It is Wednesday, which means that not only do we have Democracy Now! Coming up here, but we have Pilots Progressive Party coming up here at 5 o'clock. Hutch, Hennepin County Sheriff Dave Hutchinson is going to be on with Robert Pilot and crew, so make sure you're listening for that 5 o'clock hour right here on AM 950. I mentioned the membership. I do want to make sure I hit this hard. We have been very grateful. I mean, very, very grateful to all the people who have become members here of AM 950. Thank you very much. You're helping to keep AM 950 on the air and ensuring a progressive voice stays on in Minnesota through the election cycle. We do appreciate that. We have now started creating members-only content. That's right. It's not videos of me. And, well, maybe it should be. Well, no, I've been told not to say that by the station management. Needless to say, no, it's actual interviews we've done. The first one up was Tom Hartman. I believe this week as well, we've got, I did a new intro for the Jesse Diggins
interview that we did that you can listen to that and why I really like that interview a lot. And a brand new interview with Kurt Brown, the writer of Minnesota in 1918. And he talks extensively about what happened with the flu back in 1918 and what we can learn from that. That's a members-only interview. You can catch that with the members-only page. Now, to become a member, got to go over to AM 950 Radio. That's AM 950 Radio. And become a member, sign on up, and then you'll get access to those interviews. Enjoy those, all right, by all means. 952-946-6205. Brad is in Robbinsdale. Hey, Brad, thanks for holding.
Okay, the yes, the 13th Amendment was supposed to end slavery in the United States, and last night with that executive order, we've seen slavery return. These workers in these meat plants are, you know, working shoulder to shoulder like galley slaves, and it seems like the owners have absolutely no concern for their health and safety, the safety of the wider community, and the perceived integrity of the meat products themselves. And, you know, by my understanding, these people are represented by unions, and I just do not see why they do not go out on strike and demand, you know, safe working conditions. And,
I mean, and Brad, I'm going to step in on you there for a second, because I want to make sure I clarify one thing. No, it's not slavery. Slavery was slavery. Don't get me wrong. The meat processing people, they are massive jackasses. And as I described with Jeff Stein, they treat their employees like they're a box of paper clips. And if they can kill them, they will. But in the same sense is that whenever I kind of get to the point where you know, don't compare some congressman from Ohio to Hitler, because he's not Hitler. Hitler was Hitler, all right? You disagree with him, that's fine. If you have to vilify to such an extreme just to try to get people on your side, then your argument is pointless. The same thing goes here. Don't get me wrong. It's not good, and it is horrible, and it is injustices we haven't seen since the 1880s. But it's not slavery. I just want to be very clear about that. I'm not going to just say it's slavery. No, it's not. Are people getting whipped? Are people being sold? Are children being ripped away from their parents and sold for the highest bidder? Are women getting raped? Are men getting killed because they gave a wrong look? Are men getting killed because someone had to blame someone for a crime? So let's blame the African-American? No. Two different worlds. Two very different worlds. That being said, I don't know what you do when all of a sudden, if all of a sudden everyone starts getting sick. I mean, are you going to force these people back into the plant, or are you going to basically come on out and do something to the effect of the National Guard or something of that nature? I don't know. But you have to have some protection for the people who say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going back to work. I'm just not going to do that. Here's your Minnesota report. State health officials are bracing Minnesotans for a substantial increase in COVID-19 cases, including 463 lab-confirmed cases reported Wednesday morning as testing increases for the novel coronavirus that causes the infectious diseases have increased. 18 new deaths were reported as well, bringing the total of the pandemic to 319 fatalities. One of the newly reported deaths involved a 30-year-old, the youngest victim in the state so far. That COVID-19 has been harshest on the elderly and the residents of long-term care facilities. The state has reported 4,644 COVID-19 cases since the start of the pandemic, based on 66,744 tests, including a single-day high of 2,915 tests reported on Wednesday. Once again, this isn't Minnesota's getting it bad. The rest of the country is just not testing their people. And Minnesota is trying to get their people tested. And this is, once again, this is a reason why the Trump administration did not want testing done. Is because, what have we been saying since January, Eric? We all have it. You know, once you looked at the map and there's, you saw the flights leaving China and going everywhere, we all are going to have it. With two more testing, we will see more cases, said the state health commissioner. The state infectious disease director, I should say, Chris Erschermann, in a media briefing on Tuesday. I want to lay that out that in the next number of days, we're going to continue to see more and more cases. Governor Wall said scheduled later today to join Representative Colin Peterson in Worthington to discuss outbreaks at food processing facilities, including the JBS pork plant that is temporarily shut down. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the management of the pork plant being a bunch of jackasses. Yeah, it could possibly be. I don't know. Since it's happening in every frickin' state where there's a meat processing plant. Walz also later this week must decide whether to extend or amend the statewide stay-at-home order, which will expire on May 4th. The governor, in statements over the past week, has hinted that he will dial back restrictions, but that some might still be needed to limit the spread of the outbreak. Well, he's already kind of expended that. I mean, the schools aren't going back. We already made that decision. So I don't know where you go from here. Anyone that is making the argument, well, we just go back to work. I don't know. Last week, at least 26 workers at the Worthington, Minnesota pork processing plant tested positive for COVID-19. JBS USA announced that it was idling the plant. Now a handful of workers are speaking out about the conditions there. According to six employees who spoke to reporters during an online press conference organized by local activists, the plant could have taken steps earlier to prevent the outbreak and protect workers. The employees declined to share their names out of fear of retaliation from the employer. The plant, which is owned by a subsidy of Brazilian-based JPS, one of the largest meat processors in the world, employs primarily new Americans. Well, once again, I mean, they're part of the problem, too. It's people that are, foreign companies that they don't care. One woman speaking Spanish through an interpreter regretted that the company did not encourage her to take time off after she told human resources personnel that she'd come into contact with a coworker who tested positive for the virus. She said the HR official downplayed the seriousness of her complaint when she cited stomach pain as her only potential COVID-19 symptom. They just said to go back to work, the woman said, and if I left, I was going to get points deducted. I just continued working. By points, she was referring to a system at JBS where every time the employee comes in late or takes a sick day without a doctor's note, they are given a point. When they rack up 8 points, workers explained they face consequences, including being fired. The woman said she worked through Saturday, April 18th, the same day she found out that she had tested positive for COVID-19. Now she's worried that she may have exposed her coworkers to the virus. Karen Brute, a spokesperson for JPS, denied that the company punishes workers for calling in sick. No one is forced to come. You seem to have a point system, sir. You want to explain that to us? No one's forced to come into work, and no one is punished for being absent for health reasons, Brute wrote in an email. If someone's sick or lives within someone who else is sick, we send them home. He added, the health and safety of our team members remains number one priority. God, you guys are still going with that, aren't you? 2 days after the female worker tested positive and on the heels of at least 26 confirmed cases at the plant, JPS announced it would close the Worthington facility temporarily. The closure came 1 week after Smithfield's News Foods announced it would close its nearby Sioux Falls, South Dakota plant. There are other cases just like this. Now workers continue to request the state to intervene at Pilgrim's Pride in Cold Spring, again citing concerns for worker safety. The request follows an employee walkout Monday around 10 a.m. in protest of how the poultry processing facility is handling worker safety during the COVID-19 pandemic. Stearns County Public Health confirmed last week that there are employees at both Pilgrim Pride in Cold Springs and Jenio and Melrose who've tested positive for COVID-19. A news release said the county is working with the companies as well as the Minnesota Department of Health and Centricare, and responsive action plans are in progress. According to a staff organizer at the Greater Minnesota Work Center, presented a walkout Monday evening. More than 100 workers walked out. A statement from Pilgrim Pride said the number demonstrating was closer to 20, included workers as well as local activists. We listened to their concerns and explained the extensive measures the company has taken to prevent the spread of coronavirus among the workforce. They said in a statement, you know what? They always have an excuse, don't they? They always have an excuse. Just isn't that the saddest thing? They always have an excuse. That, you know, it wasn't 100, it was just 20, and we've talked to them, and they're like this, and we tell them to stay home, even though we have a point system that will get them fired if they get out too many points. Jesus Christ, how did we get to this point? I mean, seriously, if you look at the meat processing industry, that is the equivalent of who gets more respect at the end of the day, the animal getting slaughtered or the worker that's working the line? That is a legit question. That is. Randy is in St. Cloud. Let's get him on in here. Welcome on in, Randy.
Yeah, thanks. Well, actually, I think the workers get more respect than the animals if you've seen how they live. And if you try to videotape
True. All
those yeah. animals live, you can be arrested.
The ag gag laws, that's right, yeah.
That's insane. Anyway, the point about the protesters and a lot of them are sponsored by Betsy DeVos and
The protesters, you're talking about the protesters that want to open everything back up.
Right, that it's time to open up all that. And just calling them, donkey holes is not going to be helpful in the long run. It's kind of like when Hillary used the basket of deplorables, and everybody went, oh, God, she really got them. And yeah, and there are deplorables who support Trump, all that. But making that phrase work so bad against Hillary.
Well, but Randy, and here's where I'm going to step in on you, and thanks for the phone call. They were deplorable. These people hate Democrats more than they love their job, their house, their family, their wife, their kids, their parents. They love them more than they love their church. They love their health care. They hate Democrats more than they love their country. I was reading an interesting article from 538 that basically these people will never admit Trump was bad. That every one of their families could die of coronavirus. They could lose their house. They could lose their job. They could lose it all. And they'll still sit there and say, it was Donald Trump was the best president ever. And that is who these people are. They will gladly die on the Titanic as long as they are 2 feet above the Democrats when they drowned. That is who they are. You trying to give them a nice name, trying to kind of, you rapscallions, we just agree to disagree. No. Call them what they are. Call them what they are. And you can look at me like, oh, Matt, you're horrible. No, they've proven. And the fact that they want to basically give coronavirus to as many people as possible, they've proven that they deserve to be insulted. I can understand it might not make you feel comfortable, but come on. Is that really – I mean, don't talk about the fact that they're trying to jeopardize every elderly person in the state. Watch your language. Come on, No. They're deplorables. They're jackasses. And I'm sorry if that's offensive to you. That's what this is. Chris in Chanhassen. Let's get him in here. Welcome on in, Chris.
Yeah, I just want to talk to you about the point system. I worked at a casino – here in Mystic Lake, and Walmart also too has a point system. What the point system is that if you're sick, no matter if you have a doctor's stone or not, you get what they call a point. And then where I worked at, it took 60 days of regular work to get that point off your record. And if you get so many points, you're suspended for 3 days. If you get so many points, it's automatic termination. That's what the point system is. But,
well, and we don't, and Chris, your phone is kind of cutting in and out on there. It does not sound like, and I'm not saying that's not legit. I mean, you make a very valid point. Working at a casino, working at a Walmart, that's not exactly what's going on at these meat processing plants. Because I will say this, and this is hard to even comprehend. I don't get the impression Walmart's treating their employees as bad as the meat processing plants are. And I'm not saying that there aren't some places where they've got a point system where it's a little more amicable, but it doesn't, when you have people saying, I was sick, I was exposed to someone's COVID-19, I was feeling sick, I went to my HR person, and the HR person said, suck it up, get back on the line, paraphrasing, but suck it up, get back on the line, well, there's some problems there. Now, and once again, this is not an easy choice. Whatever you do here, this is not an easy thing. I mean, the Minnesota Craft Brewers Guild recently put out an impact survey of members impacted by the COVID-19 shutdown. Things are not looking good for the state's provider of the premium brews here. April 26 follow-up, the guild asked 77 of its 150 members how long they anticipated they could sustain the businesses. These are microbreweries where the government-mandated closure would extend beyond this current schedule past May 13th. Responses were straight up dire and painted a stark timeline for the future of craft beer in Minnesota. If we're allowing liquor sales, I've never understood. I don't drink. I don't understand sometimes the Puritan nature of why you can get a liquor in a restaurant on a Sunday, but we were going to shut the liquor stores down. I don't understand this. And there seems to be some evidence here that the youth vote has basically kind of shifted some of this stuff. But I'm going to make sure I make the point here. We're living in different times. someone with the state needs to sit down with the microbreweries and say, what do you guys, you know, what would help? Would you guys being able to sell growlers? Well, we keep some social distancing. We wash down all bottles. You know, we'd come in with a no contact situation. We can make this work. But you have to try to find some way to help them out. Because the last thing you need to do is take one of your better cultural elements of your community, the microbreweries, and shut them all down. Because, yeah, that's not only are you looking at a lot of people out of jobs, but, you know, a lot of local industry gone, so that when things fire back up, it's only, once again, you don't have the local businesses, you only have national chains. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break coming back. I'm going to dance. I usually don't dance on Wednesday, but I'm going to dance a little bit. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Mark Bython with Rudy Luther Toyota in Golden Valley. Rudy Luther Toyota remains open to support other essential services, such as medical workers, first responders, and countless others. You can rely on us to take care of vehicle repairs or replacements. We can pick up and deliver your car to keep it going, and you can handle your purchase transaction, mostly online and by phone, to make it easier and safer for you. We are diligent with sanitizing the dealership and your vehicle, and we are 6 feet apart. Please let us know how Rudy Luther Toyota can help at RudyLutherToyota.com.
Lori is upset, and I can understand why. She said, why would you ever compare an animal getting slaughtered to the workers there? I get that. It's understandable. My, forgive me if I offended. What I will say is this. They don't care about their human workers. At what point you're going to get them to start caring about the animals that they're processing?
If they profited off humans being slaughtered, they might do it.
They might. But, I mean, they don't care. They don't care about their humans working for them at all. At all. And if we're going to change the system, and once again, I mean, I think a lot of this does have to deal with, you know, the calls getting made out of Brazil and some foreign country as opposed to here. But no, I didn't mean to offend. The animals get treated pretty poorly, and that's the agriculture of America. We need to revisit that. But these people don't treat the human beings with any respect. How you're going to get them to treat animals better, better, I don't know, because there truly is something evil about these people. There is truly something very evil about these people. All right. We are going to take a break for the day. Once again, I usually don't dance on Wednesday on that. maybe I'll just let the music play out. Pseudo Echo Ultraviolet is the name of the song here. You have a good one. We are back on a Thursday. Until then, see you, okay?
Energy Solar is still committed to saving you on your next energy system through their zero contact protocol. They can evaluate your